Welcome to today's edition of the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast.
Welcome to the Clay and everybody. Great day for America. We're an hour two here. We're bringing you the latest on what's going on with all these elections last night. The quick takeaway, as you know, Glenn Youngkin, the Republican, a huge win over Terry McAuliffe, Slimy Terry. He was defeated, gave his concession speech this morning. Big, big shockwave going through the Democrat Party right now. You also have a fantastic new Lieutenant Governor, Winsom Sears, a Marine and a Marine veteran, and a woman who I think you're going to be hearing a lot more about in Republican politics. A tight race that got a little less tight. Clay and I were just talking about this before in New Jersey, where Phil Murphy, the Democrat, is up on Jack Cittarelli by about 15,000 votes. They just had kind of a vote dump that had come in, and the live trackers here updating where all this stands. So it's 49.94% of the vote for Murphy. Cittarelli, 49.32%. A reminder, everybody, your vote does in fact matter. And another conversation I'm sure we're going to be having a lot more going into the midterms, which is that even a little bit of fraud, even a little bit of counting of votes that should not legally be counted, even if cast in error, can change an election, and one election in one state can change the trajectory of Congress, of the presidency of the country. So something to keep in mind. But what exactly happened last night? What is the takeaway? For Republicans, there is, I think, a template here for national level political victory based upon bringing politics down to the most fundamental local level. What's being taught in your schools, parents and their children, supporting families, giving them choice, getting them involved. My man Clay Travis went to one of these meetings himself out in Williamson County, Tennessee. So that's what the Republicans take from it. The Democrats, on the other hand, they're going back and forth. Is this just racism? Should we pretend that's what? Did we not go hard left enough on all this stuff? Here's an example. Clay, I was watching MSNBC last night because that's the best thing to do when Republicans have a great night. It's so entertaining to watch it. Here's Joy Reid. You know how this is going to go. Basically saying that, you know, why did Democrats lose last night in Virginia? Racist parents.
Exit polls showed that, which was interesting, that the coronavirus or that the virus was a very
low
not
salience.
Importance to many
yes,
of the voters
which
there.
Was fascinating.
It was education,
right.
Which is code for white parents don't like the idea of teaching right. about race. And I mean, unfortunately, race is just the most palpable tool in the toolkit. It used to be of the Democratic Party back right. in the day when there were Dixiecrats, and now of the Republican Party. It just is powerful.
Oh, Dixie brings in the Dixiecrats there. Clay, it's racist parents. That's what MSNBC wants their audience to take from this. Okay, keep going with that.
I hope, let me just tell you this, continue to roll with that theme. I hope that every Democrat takes as a lesson from what happened in Virginia and what nearly happened in New Jersey and what happened in Seattle and what happened in Minnesota and what happened in so many different jurisdictions all over this country. I hope the lesson they take is we need to call white parents racist more. I hope that's the lesson they take because they are so fundamentally out of touch with what's going on. First of all, Joy Reid, I think it's fair to say, is an imbecile. All right. Like, she is not a smart woman. She is attempting to take over the Rachel Maddow seat, right? Rachel Maddow is going to ride off into the sunset at some point, I believe, in the summer of 22 and not do a nightly show anymore. And whether you like or dislike Rachel Maddow, she's really smart. Rhodes Scholar. I don't agree with virtually anything that she says from a political perspective, but she has the ability to make unique and interesting arguments that at least can be somewhat tacitly connected to reality. If you are Joy Reid and your takeaway from this is racism is the reason why these results happen, you have to directly overlook the fact that the same people, first of all, that you're saying are racist now, a lot of them voted for Joe Biden in 2020. A lot of these women, they switched, right?
And Barack Obama twice, by the way.
And Barack Obama twice. So you are saying that these people who were willing to vote for a black man for president and supported Barack Obama, Joe Biden and Kamala Harris for the presidency a year ago, suddenly became super racist in this last year. That's a tough argument to make. It also requires that you overlook that these same racist white people were voting for a black woman for lieutenant governor and a Hispanic man for the attorney general's office, and that they voted in nearly direct concert percentage-wise with Glenn Youngkin, who happens to be a white guy. The reality is people vote not based on the color of the skin of the person who is running, by and large, certainly in the Republican Party, but based on whether politicians are speaking about issues that they care about the most. And right now, and I told you this back in August, Buck, I called you from the parking lot and I said, this is going to be big. This mom revolution is real. These are highly educated, highly informed voters who are fed up with mask mandates, who don't appreciate the idea that your race is your destiny in America. And by the way, there's a big difference between teaching about the Civil War and slavery and teaching 160 years later that the only thing that determines your success and failure in this country is whether or not you're white, black, Asian, or Hispanic, and that somehow race is destiny. That's what parents, by the way, of all persuasions reject, and that's what we're seeing, and I think it's only going to grow right between now and 2022.
There's a fundamental dishonesty in all of this right now, and that is that they act like it's the same thing to teach the history, for example, of Jim Crow and segregation in this country. That's the same thing as telling 9-year-olds that they need to separate themselves in a classroom by race and admit their white privilege or lack thereof, and either take on oppressor or oppressed status and buy into this racial Marxism of intersectionality. I mean, this is political indoctrination, because these are ideas that I would openly say I reject, you reject, people listening to this reject, and the suburban moms who came out, and that we're not just saying this as a kind of clever line. It really was a lot of suburban women, oftentimes mothers, who came out in massive numbers for Glenn Youngkin, and that was the change. It turns out they didn't like being told lies, one, by the Democrat apparatus around education. They didn't appreciate that. And they also didn't like then being told, yeah, fine, maybe we lied to you about CRT, but your objection to the CRT that we said didn't exist in schools last month or last week is actually proof of your racism. This is too far. This went beyond what was going to be acceptable for those moms. And I will tell you, even Van Jones, he's a leftist. He's a man of the left. He will cross over sometimes with conservatives on certain issues, criminal justice reform, for example. I'll just say he occasionally decides to veer off of the leftist script, but he's a man of the left. He understands, I think, at some level what happened last night in a way that he knows the Democrats to maintain power need to hear. Here he is talking about it.
You got a lot of parents who just spent a year homeschooling their kids and were forced to do so, to tell those people, look, we don't care what you think about education. That is a big insult. And I think you're going to see that a bunch of moms said, we don't like that attitude. And they rose up. Now, I think what you're going to see now, Republicans try to demagogue this issue around parental rights going forward. I think you have a playbook here. But look, Terry McAuliffe, I think he would have been a great governor. I hope he gets a chance to be a governor. But I don't think he ran a great campaign.
Okay, a couple for the latter part of it, a little bit of the usual trying to make the Democrat audience happy. The beginning, though, I hope they don't listen to him. I hope they listen to Joy Reid. As in, it wasn't that parents were insulted. It's that the parents are racist for thinking they were insulted.
Yeah, and Buck, I also saw Van Jones, which I thought was an interesting point. And I do think everybody can be guilty of this if you're not careful. He also on CNN, because I was flipping around while watching the Braves win their first World Series since 1995, which was amazing. I was flipping around, and Van Jones made, I think, a fairly astute point as well by saying a lot of Democrats have no clue what the real world is like. Mm-hmm. They like to claim, right? They like to claim that they're the party of minorities and they're the party of immigrants and all these things. But the reality is, I'm not sure there's ever been a more elite party. And by elite, I mean people who make a lot of money, people who live on the coast, people who have no real sense for what's going on in the middle part of the country. And the Democratic Party has moved so rapidly from a union-focused blue-collar base that now has been taken over to a large extent by the Republicans, and there is an elitist post-grad mentality to everything that Democrats say. They need to believe, Democrats, even though it's often not the case, that they are the smartest people in the room. And I think that's why the let's go Brandon insult is so frustrating to them, because they're not used to getting made fun of. They're used to being able to make fun of everybody else. The deplorables. Oh, look at those stupid idiot Trump voters. Oh, look at all those stupid rednecks who care about whether monuments are getting torn down. Oh, look at all those people who don't agree with vaccine mandates. Oh, they won't wear masks. There's a level of sneering, condescension that exists in the Democratic Party, Buck, that I'm not sure has ever existed in my lifetime in either party in the way that they look at a large percentage of the American population. And I don't think they're aware that the other side looks back. Republicans understand what Democrats are like a lot more than I think Democrats understand what Republicans are like. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, absolutely. And as this election played out, we brought this up on the air. Terry McAuliffe is a guy who pretends that he's so invested and cares so much about the public school system. And yet Terry McAuliffe, who is a rich white millionaire, just to put that out there for everybody, not quite as rich as Glenn Youngkin, but a rich white millionaire, makes the very clear choice to send his children to the $40,000 a year in tuition Potomac School, which is the most elite institution, that and maybe Sidwell Friends, in the D.C. area. Those are the two most elite schools you could really find to send your kids to. And yet he's going around lecturing parents who don't want their kids in the public school system to be told that if they're white, they are oppressors and need to make amends and need to obey a kind of left-wing ideology and view of the world. That's just deeply disingenuous and offensive. It was actually, this is the truth, the McAuliffe campaign blundered because people realized exactly what you say about sneering and condescension. There was something offensive about the way the Democrats were dismissive of this movement, dismissive of people who want to be more involved in their children's lives. It came out. It was ugly, and they paid the price for it.
Buck, there are lots of people out there that don't have the luxury to be able to pick their kids' school. And I don't mean from a private school perspective. I mean, you can only afford to live in this school district, and you're busting your ass to try to be able to move to the other side of the street, so to speak, so that your kid can get in that better school district. And I think Democrats have totally lost connection. I think it's a really open place for Republicans. School choice matters. Being able to be involved in your child's education is an incredible luxury that super rich people have that a lot of people in America don't have. You have to put your kid in the school where you happen to live, in an apartment or a condo or a house. And you may not be in the best school district. And being told that you can't have the same ability to have an influence on your kid's school that a rich person like Terry McAuliffe, who, as you rightly point out, puts, I think he has five kids, put all five of them in a $40,000 a year public school.
I think went to that one, and then another went to a different very expensive private school, but yeah.
But it's a luxury, right? I'm fortunate now if I decide I've got my kids in public school, two of them, but I can go look at private schools and make a choice if I decide at some point I can afford to do that. That's a luxury I didn't have for most of my life. And that's a luxury that, frankly, most people in America don't have. And Democrats sneering about those people not deserving a right to speak out for their kids, it's got the mama bears fired up, and it set off the woman revolution, the mom revolution.
There is an overarching reality of the Democrat Party that I think in the era of COVID is more clear than it has ever been before. And that is the elites of the Democrat Party are absolutely maniacally insistent upon telling everybody else what to do and maintaining the right themselves to not do the things they're telling everybody else to do. And that has started to really annoy people beyond, there's another word I want to use, but annoy people beyond where they can actually continue to, in good faith, in good conscience, vote for these Democrat clowns. We'll come back to this with also, we got more updates in real time here on New Jersey. Virginia's done. Virginia's good. Virginia's victory dance time. Don't worry. We're not celebrating early, but we'll talk about New Jersey. There may be some shifts there. The team at the Tunnel to Towers Foundation pays as much attention to the families of the 9/11 first responders and our soldiers fighting the war on terrorism as any organization. Their goal is to make sure we always remember the heroic, selfless acts of these men and women for as long as we live. They do that in any number of ways, including a special event next week on November 11th, Veterans Day. On a day-to-day basis, your donations to Tunnel to Towers Foundation provides mortgage-free homes to the soldiers and families severely affected from the dangerous events they've encountered while defending our freedom. Clay, this year alone, in 2021, they will provide those heroes and their families 200 mortgage-free homes.
That's not new this year either, as Tunnel to Towers has been doing it for years now, and they have no plans to stop. Providing a family with the security of a home is paramount. There are so many heroes and so many families who need your help. Donate $11 a month to Tunnel to Towers at t2t.org. That's T, the number 2, T.org. Welcome back in, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton Show. Love everything about the flailing uncertainty that is going on as Democrats try to come to grips with the ass-kicking that they took in Virginia last night, and also the walloping that they took all over the country. Defund the police goes down in Minneapolis. Republican elected in the city of Seattle for the first time since 1989 to be involved as a city attorney. You've got all different left-wing woke universe activists taking it absolutely on the chin. And it feels, at least so far, like Democrats are going to double down on a failed strategy that put them in this place to begin with. The woke revolution is going to devour its own. And this is pretty wild, but Joy Reid now is trying to argue on MSNBC that Republicans who voted for Glenn Youngkin and a black woman for lieutenant governor, and a Hispanic man for the attorney general, that they are dangerous insurrectionists. This is what she said in reaction to the results coming out.
You know what? For Democrats to really fight that, they would have to be willing to say what you have said on your show. I think we've all said a version of it. You have to be willing to vocalize that these Republicans are dangerous, that this isn't a party that's just another political party that disagrees with us on tax policy, that at this point, they're dangerous. They're dangerous to our national security, because stoking that kind of soft white nationalism eventually leads to the hardcore stuff. It leads to the January 6th stuff, because if people are tolerant of it in your party, they're tolerant of the soft racism, it's a really short trip to get to the January 6th insurrectionist place.
I mean, they don't. If you're a parent who doesn't want your 8-year-old learning white fragility, Clay, you're an insurrectionist terrorist who should probably be locked up in solitary confinement indefinitely. I'm glad Joy Reid's message for the Democrat Party. I hope they all take this on board. It'll be a great midterm.
I am usually an ass kicking is crystallizing, because I always think about it in the sports context. If your team gets wrecked and you ran the game plan that you wanted to run, maybe a sign that your game plan wasn't right. Democrats got wrecked last night, and their theory is we got to stick with the same game plan, just run it harder. Please do that. In the meantime, Relief Factor has helped so many members of this audience with pain relief. They have gotten 100% drug-free product. Goes after joint pain, knee, hip, back, neck, and shoulder pain. Made by doctors based on scientific research, Relief Factor helps your body reduce pain and inflammation associated with aging, exercise, and everyday living. Relief Factor goes right to the source of inflammation. Hundreds of thousands of people have ordered it, and 70% of them go on to order more. You can join the more than 500,000 people and order the 3-week quick start for only $19.95. Go to relieffactor.com or call 800-4-RELIEF, $19.95, 3-week quick start. Develop for you, relieffactor.com, or call 800-4-RELIEF. Relief Factor, feel the difference.
Welcome back to the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show. We will be taking some calls later this hour and later next hour. If you want to check in with us, tell us what you think about Virginia, the woke agenda. Are you going to show up at school board meetings, knowing that this could have a real impact on, well, for, of course, your children's education, but also on local politics? And that starts, all starts from the ground up, friends. 800-282-2882. We are not losing sight, of course, while these big numbers come in about the elections last night, and a great night for the Republican Party, and congrats to Glenn Youngkin and others who had a fantastic showing. We're not losing sight of another story that is really just becoming indefensible for Democrats, and that is the wide open southern border. We're talking right now about schools, but immigration, illegal immigration, is a place where Democrats will be very vulnerable in the midterm elections. We all know it. We've got our friend Congressman Andy Biggs with us now to talk about that and more. He's from Arizona, of course. Congressman, thanks for being with us.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys. Appreciate
First, I want to get you with updates on the border, the 450,000 per family base or per individual within a family that's separated at the border under Trump, all those big immigration stories. But we do have to just have you tell us, you know, your biggest takeaway from last night, and also where does it actually impact with and affect how the Congress is going to go from here on out into the midterms?
Well, it was I thought it was a pretty big bellwether election, to be honest with you. I think so. It tells us directionally. I think as important as Youngkin was, the down ballot in Virginia was also important because it changed the governing structure in Virginia. But also, I was intrigued and haven't heard the outcome fully of the New Jersey election. I think we were looking at, I think that's some like 12-20% in favor of Murphy, but it's so much closer than that, at least right now, anyway, as far as I know. So the real question is, what will Democrats do? And in my opinion, they're going to double down. They're not going to take a lesson, say maybe we should de-ratify it, if that's a word, but be
radicalize, less. Yeah, de-radicalize.
Yeah, de-radicalize. There we go. They want to be less radical. And I don't think that they do. And I think that very strongly, and the impressions I'm getting from this morning's hearings I've been at and talking around, they're dug in. They're going to double down.
Thanks for coming on with us, Representative Biggs. You've known Kyrsten Sinema for a while, I would imagine. She is one of the major, I would say, the voices of sanity, at least to some extent, in the Democratic Party right now. What do you think her reaction is going to be, if at all, to this election? And what sort of expectations do you have for her as it comes to her response to Joe Biden's budget plan?
I would suspect that you're going to have Kyrsten and Joe Manchin are going to basically they're in a stronger position today than they were 48 hours ago, and they're going to say, "Look, we're willing to give you something on that infrastructure package, but we're not going to go for that budget reconciliation package, that spending package." I that's what I think is going to happen, and based on what I'm hearing from the progressives over in the House, they're dug in on, they still have to get that massive spending reconciliation package in order to support the transportation infrastructure package. And nobody wants the Republicans' alternatives because they're they're all paid for and they don't have the goofy policies attached to them. I think Kyrsten and Manchin kind of hang on because they're put in a stronger position today than they were earlier.
We're speaking to Congressman Andy Biggs of Arizona. Congressman Biggs, you are a representative from a major border state, and we all know the southern border because people on the show are hearing us talk about it day in and day out. Southern border is the most open it has been in at least 30 years, maybe all time, and this seems to be increasingly by design. In fact, we just have breaking today the following. This is from CBS. The Biden administration revoked Trump-era rules that allowed U.S. authorities to limit the number of asylum seekers who can be processed at official border crossings. Through a memo, Troy Miller, the interim head of U.S. Customs and Border Protection, rescinded several guidelines during the Trump administration that upheld the so-called metering practice at land ports of entry, restricting the number of migrants who could legally ask for humanitarian protection. How is this not just, we're opening the floodgates even more? They're already open, but we're just going to make sure that the doors squeak even louder and even wider open.
Yeah, well, it's open already. It's almost impossible to open it anymore. But what they're doing with that processing, this the repealing of the Trump era metering, etc., they are effectuating de facto amnesty. That's what they're doing. So they're pouring literally hundreds of thousands of people here into this country illegally. They're not going to have them back in our court system, in the immigration court system. They're basically going to turn them loose into the country. We're going to transport them wherever they want to go. You're seeing it up in New York. You've got the school issues that you've got there. Other places around the country have school issues. They've got work issues. They've got drug issues. They've got all the issues attenuated that are attached to illegal migration. And so that's really what's happening is they're going to actually provide additional amnesty provisions.
This is something, the border failure, inflation, CRT in schools, all of this is leading to a mass migration, it appears, in particular, of suburban women into the Republican camp. Do you think that Nancy Pelosi, for instance, is going to see these results in 2021 and contemplate retirement even more seriously than before? You're in Congress. You also interact with senators. What kind of message do you think the 2021 results are sending in terms of who even runs for the Democratic Party in 2022 and what is always going to be a difficult midterm challenge? But we're talking about potentially a 1994 level red wave that right now looks like it could sweep over the Democratic Party across the entire nation.
Yeah, I think that Nancy Pelosi will probably retire. I'd be surprised if she didn't. But I also think she's going to be joined by a lot of long-term left-wing Democrats in our body as well. I think that you're going to see more retirements because not only do you have this what we saw last night in the elections, but also you've got the redistricting and all the dynamics of redistricting, and I think that's going to push some of them out as well. And then the fact is, and you guys are exactly right, when you start talking about suburban women and you speak generically, they didn't like the tone, perhaps, of President Trump. But one thing that they know is they're certain of now is they don't like the inflation, they don't like the high crime, and they don't like the unsafe borders of the Biden policy. And so they have to make a judgment whether they support the policies that Trump put in that gave them safety, gave them a stable economy, and basically allowed them to live their lives the way they wanted to live them. They didn't have to worry about the CRT stuff in schools. They get that choice, and I think it's a choice where they can say, well, we won't have Trump at least for a couple more years, no matter what. So I think they look at it that way. My own opinion is that Trump helped Youngkin substantially win in Virginia. But I mean, we're talking policies here that appeal to suburban women, and that's the limited focus that I give you that answer.
Congressman Andy Biggs, appreciate it, sir. Thanks for being with us.
Hey, thanks.
If we've learned anything since 2020, it's that there's nothing quite as important as a powerful immune system. Over 20 years ago, Dr. Dennis Black of Texas invented Texas Superfood. Texas Superfood is the original superfood. We met Dr. Black years ago, and he taught us that with 55 vine-ripened fruits and vegetables, plus probiotic and digestive enzymes, you can build your body's defense from the inside out. We learned from Dr. Black, your immune system's job is to detect, deflect, and destroy bacteria you come in contact with, which is why Texas Superfood boosts your immune system better than anything on the market. Your grandma told you to eat your fruits and veggies, but with busy schedules and fast food out there, let's be honest, a lot of us don't do that. That's why you need Texas Superfood. It is the safety net for the American diet. Buck, how can people take advantage of this?
So easy. Start boosting your immune system for under $2 a day. And you really need to do this, because if you can't, won't, or don't eat all your fruits and veggies, Texas Superfood was made for you. Just go to this website, TexasSuperfood.com/Buck. That's TexasSuperfood.com/Buck. Or call this phone number, 855-TEXAS-55. Again, boost your immune system for under $2 a day. Call this number, 855-TEXAS-55.
Welcome back in. Clay Travis, Buck Sexton Show. Encourage all of you to go subscribe to our podcast. You can search out Clay Travis. You can search out Buck Sexton. We certainly have been having an amazing day celebrating a big win in Virginia to help bring the country back to some level of sanity. The woke agenda taking a major punch on the chin. And one of the big winners is the Virginia Lieutenant Governor Winsome Sears. a black woman, former Marine veteran, who was elected statewide alongside of Glenn Youngkin last night. She said some interesting things. Republicans are called racist by Democrats, but people like Biden, well, they've actually done racist things. Cut 14.
They say the Republican Party is racist, but they have done quite a bit of racist things. I have had white liberals talk down to me, and as if I didn't exist simply because I'm a Republican. I mean, how dare you? Who told you you could talk to me that way because I'm not the right kind of black? Is that how this works? And then Joe Biden starts telling us when he was running for president that if you don't vote for him, you're not black enough.
If you have a problem figuring out whether you're for me or Trump, then you ain't black.
Really? If Republicans had said something like that, can you imagine? We would still be talking about it today.
Condescension and hypocrisy, the twin pillars of liberal vulnerability, Democrat vulnerability going into this election and many elections before it. But I think people are more aware of it now than they've been in a long time, Clay, because of the way they're setting up their narrative, because of the way they're treating people who really do just want their kids to be in good schools and learning things they should be learning and not indoctrinated with either the trans agenda or wokeism and intersectionality. And I mean, I learned the term intersectionality 3-4 years ago. I mean, these are made up things that kids are now being introduced to and hit with. And it's just amazing how much they're going to call out on the same night where you have the first black woman to win statewide office in Virginia. They're calling out the racist Republican Party. Of course, she is a Republican. This is they don't even care. The facts don't matter. And she points out, it's like they act like if you're Republican and you're black, somehow that doesn't get counted the same way.
Well, and think about the state of Virginia has a governor scandal because he was in blackface and the attorney general was in blackface. So look, I'm not claiming that everybody needs to be canceled for every stupid thing they've ever done throughout history. But that's kind of significant when you're calling the party that just elected the first statewide black woman in the history of your state to office. When you're calling that party racist and you have the skeletons in your closet currently sitting in the same offices, that's kind of a big deal, I would think, to be able to point to those and say, you're not exactly operating with clean hands here. And it just goes to the overwhelming hypocrisy that is at play. And that's why I think the Republicans have a better story to sell to white, black, Asian, and Hispanic people. I think that's what we're starting to see because minority support is growing for Republican candidates.
We've been asking for you to weigh in here, folks, and appreciate those of you who have called in. We'll get to some right now. We got right here next to me in Queens, New York, Sean. What's up, Sean?
What's up, Buck? What's going on, Clay? My opinion on Eric Adams getting elected, I think New York City made a huge mistake. This guy is a founder of NAN. We all know what NAN is, one of the biggest cop-hating organizations there is. Every person that was racing against him were anti-cop. They all backed him. They're all going to be in his administration. And the biggest thing of all is he wants vaccine mandates for our kids. He said it.
I know. Look, Buck and I agree that we would not want him to be the mayor if we were picking the mayor, right. But... he's better than de Blasio.
Right. I mean,
probably,
this is the thing.
Right?
I mean,
like, it's relatively speaking.
Sean, let me put this back to you. I mean, would you, of the Dem, look, I would have loved it if Curtis Sliwa won. I think he got 20% of the vote in New York City. It's a huge, huge hurdle for any Republican to win here, right? A real Republican. I mean, obviously, Bloomberg was a make-believe Republican. Sean, I mean, is Eric Adams the best of the worst of the Democrats, so to speak? You know what I mean? I mean, was there a better option among the other possibilities?
No, the only option is Curtis Sliwa.
Right. Well, exactly. I mean, look, Sean, everything you're saying about the concerns you have, and I feel him here too for New York because I think that he might be, to Clay's point, de Blasio is the worst mayor in America. So I think that Eric Adams may be a little better than that. But Sean, thanks for calling him from Queens. That's not saying very much. It's in fact saying very little, but I am hopeful because I live here and I want to see this place safer. I want to see less people assaulted, less people shot, more people feeling they can walk around and not be, be attacked with a hammer in broad daylight for no apparent reason or pushed on a subway platform. I'm anti all those things.
Your hope is just that he's better than the worst mayor the city's ever had.
And maybe the worst mayor in the entire country. Yes, that is my hope. And I think
and
we
that
can
seems
get
like
there.
A reasonable level of hope. We're not setting the standard here
let's
incredibly
be clear.
High.
In no way am I saying, oh my gosh, Eric Adams is going to be a great mayor for New York. It's going to be fantastic. I'm saying I hope he's a little better than the last guy who was.
He can't be
absolutely
worse.
Terrible. Iris in Naples, Florida. What's up? What's up, Iris?
Well, hi, Buck. Hi, Clay.
Hey.
This is such an honor to be talking with you. Thank you so very much.
Thank you.
Certainly. We are so, so very, very excited about the results, obviously. We are Jews. We are conservative Jews. We were part of the Jewish Republican Coalition, voted for Trump twice. We are outraged and have been outraged for the last handful of years that, as you well know, most of our friends and our family votes Democrat. My question to you, and Buck, we love you. We listened to you for years. And Clay, we're getting to love you now. So
I appreciate
you have good taste.
Yes.
Great. Here's my question. Because of the insanity and because of the disgusting mode of living in this country at this moment, and soon that will change, what do you two think about the majority of Jews now who hopefully will have been struck negatively enough to finally understand and realize that a Republican is obviously the way to go?
I would love that, Iris. Thank you for calling in. I would think that's fantastic. And I do believe that really, look, a majority of Jewish Americans should be voting Republican.
Yes.
A huge majority, in my opinion, for a lot of reasons. One of them being that if you want to know where anti-Semitism really resides in American politics today, it's in the Democrat Party, folks.
It is the AOC wing of the Democratic Party that is supporting Palestine, that is regularly attacking Jewish interests, that doesn't believe that Israel has the right to defend itself. That's where anti-Semitism is today. If you are making a choice between the left wing of the Democratic Party or the reasonable wing of the Republicans, it's not a hard choice. You should be voting Republican, no doubt, if you're pro-Israel.
You're listening to Clay Travis and Buck Sexton on the EIB Network.